This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Friday, February 21st. Happy Friday. I cannot believe I leave for the combine in a few days. The off season already flying by. And this is, of course, your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And as is always the case, it feels like we got a jam-packed daily pod today. The Eagles just won't allow things to slow down. Cam Jurgens' injury news, which we need to get into. AJ Brown gave a really good revealing interview, I guess I would call it, on the Kicking It With D podcast. Whenever AJ talks, he's must listen. And then we're going to continue our free agency series looking at what I think Josh Sweat will get paid and the chances that he is back with the Eagles. So let's dive right into it. It's a Friday. I don't want to waste your time. Let's start with the injury report. So Cam Jurgens' back injury, the details of it now being revealed. This according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, who tweeted on Thursday, Eagles Pro Bowl center Cam Jurgens underwent a back procedure Tuesday in Los Angeles with Dr. Robert Watkins to alleviate nerve pain, per sources. Doctors believe a full recovery is expected by July in time for training camp. Jurgens is headed into the final season of his rookie contract. So much to take away from this. First, and I think what most fans take away was, and I think it's the correct one, which is credit to Cam Jurgens for playing through that playing in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl with that back injury. Playing with a back injury, I can imagine, was extremely not fun. I'm sure it was painful. I don't know, but I can't imagine it helped the back injury to continue to play football. And now he's going to spend all offseason rehabbing because he, you know, suffered the injury, but also he pushed through, he played in the championship game, he played in the Super Bowl. So credit to Cam Jurgens for doing that. When, you know, Nick Sirianni talks about building a culture and guys wanting to play for each other, like that's what that is. Cam Jurgens obviously wanted to play in the Super Bowl. But I'm sure he wanted to play for his teammates and his coaches and his family and his friends and the fans. So really, really admirable what Cam Jurgens did. Now there's the reality of the situation, which is he is now going to be dealing with a back injury and back rehab all off season. Now, the tweet says that he's expected to be fully healthy by July. Obviously, I'm just guessing here. I'm not a doctor. I was not in Cam Jurgens' surgery. I would guess this means he's probably going to miss some of training camp. I know it says expected to be ready by July, but with those type of things, if you're ready by July, like I would guess Cam Jurgens is going to be somewhat limited in training camp, at least to start. And we'll see what happens heading into the regular season. So for next season, I would expect Cam Jurgens to be playing in week one, barring any type of setback. And hopefully feeling way better, and hopefully this is a fix that the surgery can give him, like a permanent fix, and it doesn't become a thing. Now, the concern, though, with this is twofold. One, he is an offensive lineman that has a back injury. A back injury for any athlete is really tough, but an offensive lineman, when you're like squatting all game, when you're, you know, your whole thing is like pushing and not getting pushed back, like the back is a very important thing. Jordan Mailata dealt with back injuries or injury early in his career, and it took him time to recover from those. Now, he has gone on to obviously have an outstanding career. So I think Cam Jurgens will ultimately be fine, but you don't want to hear that a young player has a back injury. There's no good age to get it, but hopefully this is not something that he has to now deal with throughout the rest of his career. And again, it makes it more admirable what he did, playing in the championship game, playing in the Super Bowl, because I can't imagine that was helpful. So now it'll be with Cam, like, how is his back hold up? Like, will the Eagles next year, you know, how is his back? So there's a concern, obviously, with him having a back injury at his position and just how long-term, if it will impact him, if this will be a reoccurring thing. So you really hope for his sake he is healthy, but a back is, you know, like, Brandon Graham tore his tricep. Like, that just, you get surgery, it heals, it's not a huge, I don't think, long-term thing. A back injury is right there with leg injuries, where I think it's something that you now need to think about with him until, you know, he shows a pretty long, a prolonged, you know, play with recovery. So then here's the other part of it, and this is the last part of Schefter's tweet. Jurgens is headed into the final season of his rookie contract, which means, and this is me now, Cam Jurgens' contract eligible for an extension. We talked about it in the salary cap pod earlier this week, but Cam Jurgens is probably the number one guy they're going to pay. Like, he's not a free agent, but in terms of priority, Cam Jurgens is probably number one, ahead of Bond, ahead of Milton Williams, ahead of Sweat. Like, he is the number one guy. Howie Roseman values the offensive line. He locks up his offensive linemen early in their career. They paid Jordan Mailata. They paid Landon Dickerson. They've paid Lane a bunch of times. Cam Jurgens is going to get paid. Now, I think the Eagles will do the right thing and just pay him, you know, based off what they were probably going to pay him prior to the back injury. But now you have to think, like, if you're the Eagles, this guy does have a back problem. And how will that impact his play next year? Will there be potentially something in the contract about the back problem where, you know, maybe he doesn't get as much as he was going to prior? So the fact that the back injury happened, like, this offseason is pretty terrible timing for Cam. If it would have happened last offseason, obviously there's never a good time to have it, but at least then he would have, in theory, a full year of playing with the back injury and showing he's recovered. Now the Eagles are probably going to cut him a check to make him one of the highest paid centers in the NFL before they see how he plays with this back injury. So again, credit to Cam for playing through the injury. It does create a tough situation because he's now going to be essentially miss all offseason, an offseason where he's going to get a contract. I think they will still pay him, but not ideal timing for Cam. So yeah, that's the injury news for today. Cam Jurgens with the back surgery. And we'll talk about it a lot this offseason, but we will see what his contract ends up looking like and if this complicates it at all. All right, let's get into the next piece of news. So AJ Brown was on the Kicking It with D podcast, and shout out to that podcast. I watched the full interview. It was awesome. I highly, highly recommend you guys go and listen to it. Finish this podcast first, then put on the Odyssey app. But after that, watch the Kicking It with D podcast with AJ Brown. I think AJ Brown right now, I don't think there's an athlete in the city that if you told me I could sit down for a one-on-one interview with, that I would pick ahead of AJ Brown. I think he's interesting when he talks. I think he's thoughtful. I think he's really smart. I don't think he's afraid of any issue. I think that he's honest. I think he talks about what the fans and media want to talk about. And credit to the podcast host because they asked him good questions, I thought. So we got AJ Brown on a lot of things, on the Super Bowl post, on Nick Sirianni, on Jalen Hurts, on the offense, which I thought was especially interesting. And then he said what player he would want to play with if they could add anyone. And I thought it was interesting, the name he said. So let's get into it. Some of these clips are long, so let's jump right into it. As you remember, after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, AJ Brown won the Super Bowl, he posted a post on Instagram essentially saying, you know, it wasn't what he thought it would be. And, you know, he obviously enjoyed winning it, but that the thrill of winning the Super Bowl wasn't what he thought it would be. And the post was met with mixed reactions. I thought it was a fine post. I honestly, not to toot my own horn, but like I thought he kind of meant what he says here in terms of where he doesn't let one game define him, that he enjoys the totality of it. But some people took it as selfish. Some people said it was a sign that, you know, because he didn't have a big game or whatever, which I mean, he did have a touchdown, but some people took it the wrong way. So AJ was asked about it and he gave a long answer about it, but it's really good and it's really detailed. So I wanted to play it for you. So the question was asked basically, what did the post mean? And, you know, it's prefaced by saying that AJ talks about mental health a lot. So that's why he references it at the beginning of the answer. But here's AJ Brown on the Instagram Super Bowl post.
It's kind of, I mean, for me, like it has nothing to do with mental health. Mm-hmm. But just kind of just how I attack this game and my craft and how much I love this game. And, I wrote the post and it was just like, you know, it wasn't fulfilling. Mm-hmm. It didn't do anything for me. It didn't do a lot for me that I thought, you know, because coming into this game, it's like, all right, we playing for the Lombardi Trophy, mm-hmm. you know, and we all adopt that mindset when we first got into the league. This is what we're doing it for. And some players talk about it. And so I tried to adapt that feeling, even watching people win Super Bowl. I'm like, oh, they happy. They celebrating. Then locker room drinking and stuff, doing all these things. And so I'm just like, okay. I'm like, all right, that's how I supposed to feel. And I'm in the locker room, and after we win, like, bro, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do nothing. And I'm in the locker room with a bottle of Ace of Spades, trying to drink
cigars and enjoy everything
with my teammates. And so, like, I'm smoking a cigar, like I'm trying to feel
how you pictured it, how the expectations, it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, my expectations of it, and I was totally wrong, and I even sat down in the locker room for a second because I got tipsy because I don't drink. It didn't take me long.
It didn't take me long,
and so yeah. I was just like, man, this is cool, but you know, I'm ready to go. Mm. I'm in the locker room, mm-hmm. like this, you know, I'm ready to go though.
Yeah, right?
You know, so got back with my family and stuff, and celebrated with my family, which was cool, but it was just like, man, I really love the game.
Yeah.
And it ain't for attention. It ain't for money. It ain't for cars, clothes. Not even for that trophy. Mm. It's the daily grind and me putting in that time and me believing in something that can't nobody see but me.
What do you think would have made that moment what you expected it to be? Or maybe there isn't an answer. Yeah, maybe it's just like you said, you like the grind. You like the game.
Yeah.
15 catches, 4 touchdowns.
Huh?
15 catches, 4 touchdowns, 200 yards.
You know, see, we can get into that too because, I got a dog. His name is Elijah Moore. My dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We always talk about after the game, like, how you feel, bro. He just went off, and I'm like, normal. You know what I'm saying? And so I kind of removed that mentality. It's like I'm on top of the world.
Yeah.
After the game,
you have to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to. And you got to come back down to zero.
Mm-hmm. Or else you right here all day, every day. You right there.
You know, and even if you do have the worst game ever, you have to come back down to zero. It's just something to learn from. Mm-hmm. Even if you have the best game ever, it's something you got to come back down to zero because you got to learn from it. And I just kind of adopted that mentality. And I didn't know how to cut the switch off. Like, mm-hmm. we just won the Super Bowl. And so I'm just feeling like, all right, what's next?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, a lot of people kind of got upset about it, but you know, you really don't understand it because it's just like I make so many sacrifices for this game,
right?
And you do it on a daily basis. You know, I'm insane to my family. You know, I'm insane to people who's watching me on a daily basis.
Yeah,
do these things, and it's like I'm gonna do this every single day because I'm devoted to my craft. And so the part where I get the thrill from is like, when somebody challenged me and tried to take what's on my plate.
Mm. Dog mentality.
That's my fix.
Right.
That's my fix. Because, mm-hmm. like, how dare you think you about to take what I work so damn hard for? Right. And so that's what get me going. That's what get my blood going. Like,
yeah,
you know, and people kind of took it as took the message the wrong way, saying like it was on some selfish stuff. But, like, It's like, nah, like you just don't understand. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. I said this prior to 2022. Like, I think sometimes as fans and media, we can define people off of one game, but I understand being an athlete why you wouldn't want to define yourself off of one game. And for AJ Brown, why winning that Super Bowl, while awesome and, you know, he celebrated with his family, I'm not overly surprised it wasn't like the extreme joyous moment it is for fans. AJ, as you can hear, like, enjoys the work. He enjoys the game every week. He enjoys, you know, winning his matchups. And like he said there, he likes when people kind of doubt him or try to stop him, I guess, for a better term, in the NFL. And he beats him anyway. So I think it's a good answer. I think it makes sense. And I also think that it's a really promising sign for next year. Like, I think, you know, some people in the Eagles, when they won in 2017, were like, well, we got the Super Bowl now, and you saw why they fell. I think that answer right there should make fans feel good that AJ is not going to have that mentality and that AJ is going to keep working just as hard because he doesn't feel like the Super Bowl was what defines him. The work is what defines him. Winning matchups is what defines him. And that doesn't change whether you're a Super Bowl champion, the reigning Super Bowl champion or not. Now, AJ has talked about wanting to do everything to win the Super Bowl. So I'll be curious to see like how that changes because he talked about that a lot during the season. And now that he's won it, you know, maybe it's different. But I just thought that was a really good answer explaining what he meant. So next up, AJ was asked about his relationship with Nick Sirianni. And he gave a nice little anecdote in there about something that happened at practice prior to, I think it was a championship game or maybe before they left for New Orleans. So here is AJ Brown talking about his relationship with Nick Sirianni.
Me and Nick, we have a great relationship. So, you know, you see people, we kind of the same person.
Yeah.
We're fiery a little bit, you know, but we definitely understand each other. And, you know, we're going to talk a little noise.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
But our relationship, it's got a lot better. Man, we check in all the time. Either I go sit in his office or we're FaceTime in the week, just checking in, just see like what's going on and, you know, just how we feeling or what we thinking, you know what I'm saying? And he always like, he don't let that friendship side like get in the way of being a coach either, you know, cause I don't mind him coaching me hard. Like I think the week before we left to New Orleans, like he had chewed me out on a walkthrough. And it was cool, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know, sometimes that's needed, you know, because, you know, you can get too close with people, but it's always a business and you know what we're here for.
Yeah.
And we don't let that get in the way of our friendship. He's still a good coach and he's going to coach me hard and coach everybody hard. So, but
I've always felt that Nick Sirianni and AJ Brown were really close. You can hear it in there. They FaceTime, they hang out in the office. He coaches them hard. And, you know, I think that it just shows like when it comes to the locker room, the leaders of the team really, really have Nick's back. And I think they are Team Nick when it comes to, you know, whoever. Like I think Nick is very, very popular in that locker room. And you can hear it with the way AJ talks about him. And it's really important that they have a good relationship. AJ's a crucial member of the team. He's a captain. And he's also somebody that I think his mood can really dictate how the rest of the locker room is feeling. So for Nick to have a good relationship with him, I think is critical. I think it's important. And it sounds like it happens when AJ is either really happy about something or really upset about something, he can talk to Nick about it. And I think it's good to have that system in place so that the locker room can remain a really good place. And that, you know, if AJ and Nick didn't get along, that would be really bad. So it's good to hear Nick coaches AJ hard. It's good to hear AJ enjoys being coached hard. And it's good to hear that they have a really good relationship because I think it's critically important that they do moving forward. So next, AJ was asked about Jalen Hurts and a little kind of context here. He was asked about, I think it was a championship game. AJ Brown, no, I think it was the Rams game because of the snow. AJ drove up in like a Honda, and shout out to Honda, nothing wrong with the Honda, but people kind of pointed out like, that's a pretty cheap car for such like a, you know, an athlete who obviously has millions of dollars. And he joked that it was snowing outside. He didn't want to drive any of his nicer cars, which makes sense. I have a nice car and a bad car. My cars are probably not as nice as AJ's, but my bad ones are as bad as AJ's, I would say. So I get it. Like, I drive the worst of the two cars when it's snowing outside. But as some context, then he was asked, like, well, I heard Jalen lives in a $2,000 a month house, and, you know, basically like, oh, you guys are being smart with your money. And then AJ was asked, like, is Jalen this cool all the time? And here's what AJ had to say.
All I'll ask about Jalen, bro, ain't no way he that goddamn cool in person, bro. Why he so cool the whole time, bro? Every address in the media, it'd be like a thought out, like, civil rights speech he given. Like, and it could just be a, it could just be like a, yeah. And he, man, it was great. It was this, it was that. I'm like, he cool as hell. He always like that, or that's just the media, Jalen?
Nah, that's he like that.
That's him. That's him.
He like that all the time.
That's him. Oh, man.
Say less.
You good. Like that all the time.
Say less. I'm crying, bro. We're going to stop talking about other people. What's up?
Yeah, and AJ did not want to really talk about Jalen. You could tell. Like, he was like, yeah, he's just cool all the time. This is who he is. Like, didn't really go into a ton of detail. But, yeah, cool to hear him talk about Jalen. And, you know, he had a big smile on his face while he was doing it, but certainly didn't go into the detail that he did when talking about Nick. So next up, and I think this one is probably the most interesting. So it seems as if, I can't say for sure, but it seems as if this was interviewed. Well, it definitely was, actually. I can't say for sure. This interview took place prior to the hiring of Kevin Petullo, because AJ says in here they don't know who the coordinator is going to be. But he says something about the offense that I think is so true, and something I've said over the past few days, which is probably why I think it's so true. But here is AJ talking about the new offensive coordinator, who we now know is Kevin Petullo, but at the time he didn't know who it was going to be.
You know, we don't know who's going to be the OC yet, but, you know, there are definitely going to be some changes. You know, we have to change. You know, we just won. You know, everybody has the film on us.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
We got to adapt, you know. So, we're not afraid of that. We've been doing that each and every year. But, you know, this time it may have to be a little more drastically, you know. But, you know, it's a part of the game. It's a part. That's what we do it for.
So, you hear it in there. He says the offense has to change. They have to change drastically because of the fact that they're Super Bowl champions and because of the fact that everyone's going to be gunning for him. And, you know, you could read that as like he wants to pass it more. I don't think that's what he meant. But in terms of changing it drastically, I just think he means everyone's going to be prepared for what they did last year. Everyone watched him win the Super Bowl. Everyone's going to study him this offseason. They're going to be the number one target for every team they play next year. And so you're going to have to change it drastically. You're going to have to come with new wrinkles because people are going to spend all offseason studying what you do, and you're going to have to come next year with a better way to do it. And that is why I was not the biggest fan of the Kevin Petullo hiring. Like, I get promoting from within is good for the culture in the building. And I get that he's a really, really smart coach and he's been a big part of what they do. And he deserves this role. Like, he has worked hard to get this role. I just think it was such a good opportunity to hire somebody from the outside, get a fresh set of eyes on things, get a fresh set of ideas. You already had Kevin Petullo's ideas. You had them for 4 years, 5 years at this point, which is crazy. No, I guess 4 years. 4 years at this point, and you probably would have had him even if you hired a new offensive coordinator this year. So I'm happy for Kevin that he got the job, but I agree with AJ when he says, like, the offense has to make drastic changes. And the worry is the people who are making the drastic changes are the people who have implemented this offense. So, like, do they have the ideas to make it different? And that is going to be a key question for this upcoming season. So finally, AJ was asked, like, if you could pick one player to join the Eagles, who would it be? And it's funny in here. He makes like a joke about how the Eagles don't seem to have a salary cap, which, you know, Joe Burrow joked about how the Eagles always do it. It definitely seems to be something players around the league think about. But here's AJ saying the player he would bring is certainly a player that fans have talked about quite a bit this offseason.
Money don't matter. You could bring anybody. Oh my God,
an unlimited salary cap is off.
Honestly, that's what it'd be feeling like over here. Yeah. I'll say Myles Garrett.
Oh my God.
You know, adding him with Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't know what's gonna happen with Josh Sweat or Milton. But
bro, wasn't Max Crosby? Him. Max Crosby was tweeting some stuff with some Eagles emojis in it. You seen that?
Max
Woo. You seen that?
I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But I'm tired of Max, man.
Max can't go to Philly, bro.
That'll be incredible, man. That'll be incredible. I think the city will love him for sure.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
You know, maybe AJ saw Miles Garrett on Twitter a bunch and all the Eagles. It seems like AJ does scroll Twitter. So maybe that's why he said him. Maybe he would just love to play with Miles Garrett. Maybe he knows they're going to try to get him. I don't know, but very interesting and a good job by AJ doing some recruiting there. You know, getting the Miles Garrett to the Eagles, kind of getting it some more juice. So will it happen? We'll see. I think they have the resources to do it. They have the need to do it. They have the cap space to do it, especially with what his base salary would be off a trade. I think it's like less than $5 million. So they have the ability, they have the need, they have the resources. Let's see if they can get it done. It certainly seems like AJ wants them to. So again, shout out to the Kicking It with D podcast. Really good listen. I suggest everybody goes and listens to it because he talked about a lot of other things. Those are just the things that piqued my interest when I went through and listened. So I wanted to share it with you guys. All right. On the other side, we're going to continue our off-season look at the Eagles free agents, who they could sign, who I think is going to leave, and what some comparable contracts are for the guys that are going to be set to be free agents. And today we're going to take a look at Josh Sweat. But first, a word from our sponsors.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So it's funny when it comes to Josh Sweat, on the surface, he seems like exactly the type of player that Howie Roseman would sign. First of all, he drafted him, and he drafted him in the fourth round. He's proven to be worth way more than that fourth round spot. He has 43 sacks and 98 quarterback hits in 7 seasons. Last year, he was top 10 in hurries among edge rushers. He has arguably been their most consistent rusher since coming to the team. There have been players that have had better seasons, but in terms of just over the last 7 years, week in and week out, who has provided a pass rush better than Josh Sweat? There just aren't many of them in this Eagles uniform. As I mentioned, he's a homegrown talent. We talked about with Milton Williams yesterday how important that is. I think when you draft somebody and they come up through your system and they're around the facility and they know how things are done there, there's real value in keeping that person. And he has a Super Bowl ring where he nearly won MVP in the game. So you've seen that he can be a big-time player. So on the surface, Josh Sweat checks a lot of boxes. Premium position, has had good numbers, has been productive, has been consistent, and is an Eagle. Like, he checks a lot of the boxes, honestly, Milton Williams does. The only concern I have with Josh Sweat is the best football of his career ahead of him, or have we already seen it? With Milton Williams, I think it's pretty safe to assume, or you're banking on the fact, it's ahead of him. I think that Milton Williams is just scratching the surface of what he can be. Zach Bond, I think you could argue it's maybe ahead of him. I would say probably not, just because of his age. He's a little on the older side. But regardless, like, his best football, just since he's now playing a position he thrives at, is probably ahead of him. I just don't know if that's the case with Josh Sweat. So Josh Sweat is 27 and he'll be 28 on March 29th. So you're getting his year 28 season into next year. So if you give him a 3-year deal, you're getting 28, 29, and 30. Not old by any stretch, but he's played 7 seasons. He's played a ton of football. And it's hard to imagine for me that his best football is ahead of him. I think what you're going to hope to get with Josh Sweat is what he has been, which is consistent, probably not like elite, probably not special, but very good consistently. There's also something to consider that while he has been healthy through his career, and maybe this isn't fair to bring up because he has been healthy, but it has to be mentioned, like, he did have major knee concerns coming into the NFL draft. He fell because of that. And as he gets older, right, 28, 29, 30 season, you wonder if his knees become an issue. So I think that while on the surface, Josh Sweat checks a lot of boxes on a guy that they would have interest in retaining and signing, how he pays defensive linemen, all the things we just said, I think that once you look past that, like, little on the older side, has probably already played his best football. The knees could potentially be a concern moving forward. And while I think Josh Sweat is very good, I don't know. In my opinion, I don't know if he's like a special game-changing consistent player. He certainly has the ability to do it. We saw that in the Super Bowl. But I don't know if he has been that consistently special. He's been consistently good, just not consistently special. Now, the issue with that is when you hit free agency, you're often overpaid because you're available. Teams have to pay to get you. So I think Josh Sweat is going to get paid above what I believe he is as a player. Now, is it possible that Josh Sweat goes into free agency and most teams agree with that assessment? He did switch agents. He's now with Drew Rosenhaus, big time powerful agent. So he certainly is going into this knowing he needs to get a life-changing contract. It's probably his last big contract. And he hired one of the best in the business to do it. I'm sure his last agent was also very good, but Drew Rosenhaus, big time name. So Josh is like preparing to get paid. I think Josh is going to get paid more than he's worth, in my opinion. So who are some comparable contracts? And again, as you'll find throughout this series, I think age is a really big deal when it comes to players. So I tried to find players that are like good, probably not great, and are around Josh Sweat's age. Montez Sweat from Chicago. Now, they traded for him. And one thing I will say is a lot of the comparable contracts I could find, these teams had traded for the player, which puts them, from a negotiating standpoint, at a disadvantage. Because once you trade a premium asset for a player, you pretty much have to sign him. So Montez Sweat from Chicago, he was 27 when he signed it, so a year younger than Josh Sweat. 4 years, $98 million, $41 million guaranteed, and a $20 million signing bonus. I don't think Josh Sweat is getting that. If he does, I think it'll be like a fake $98 million. Now, I could picture him getting $40 million guaranteed. I think that's possible depending how the bidding goes, but I don't think he'll get the $25 million a year average that Montez Sweat got. Leonard Williams, 3 years, $64 million, $43 million guaranteed. $24 million signing bonus, was 29 at signing, so he was older. I think Leonard Williams has probably been a better player than Josh Sweat. I think Leonard Williams has fallen off a little bit, and Josh Sweat has been pretty consistent, but I think at his ceiling, Leonard Williams was a better player than Josh Sweat. So the number I'd look at here is the $64 million over 3 years. So now we're talking $22 million, a little less than $22 million average, as opposed to that $25 million. So I think that's more where he'll be. And again, Leonard Williams, 29 at the age of signing, as opposed to 27 for Montez Sweat. Matthew Judon out of Atlanta has definitely, I think, reached a higher peak than Josh Sweat has. He was 28 at signing, so, you know, similar to Josh Sweat. 4 years, $54 million. So we are way down from that $25 million year average. $32 million guaranteed. He got an $18 million signing bonus. I think this is more what you're looking at for Josh Sweat. 4 years, maybe 3 years, $54 million as opposed to four. I think 30 plus million guaranteed because of the position he plays and his track record. And again, the age there plays a factor. So the last one I'll put was Bradley Chubb. He got like an absurd contract. 5 years, $110 million, $33 million guaranteed, was 26 at signing. Honestly, as I talk live here, I'm not really sure why I put Bradley Chubb. He's not going to get that much money. Josh Sweat's older. But yeah, I don't think Josh Sweat's going to get that money. So my overall takeaway would be, I think you're probably looking at a 3 year, $50-ish million deal for Josh Sweat. I think he'll get around $30 million guaranteed, kind of like Milton Williams. You never know what happens with the bidding war. And obviously with Drew Rosenhaus, who knows what will happen. I just don't see the Eagles paying Sweat. They have Nolan Smith. They have Jalix Hunt. It's a strong pass rushing draft. So I view Josh Sweat's days with the Eagles as over. I would put the chances the Eagles re-sign Josh Sweat at 15%. And of the main free agents, the like Becton, Bond, Milton Williams, and Josh Sweat, I think Josh Sweat is the least likely to be re-signed, which means look forward to that Josh Sweat re-signing and him being back next year. But anyway, that'll do it for Josh Sweat. We will continue tomorrow with another look at an Eagles free agent. But thank you for listening. And as always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.